Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast. As we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale, please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning. This is Brother Davis once again, standing in for Dr. Youngblood, and I certainly want to apologize for the technical difficulties that we are having on today. I have some on my end that are causing me not to be able to respond, you know, as well as I would like to on the show. So certainly we want you to take all mistakes for love. We certainly love each and every one of you on today, and thank you for tuning in. Usually we can do a better job, but I'm having to do it by telephone on today rather than by Skype. So we are having some problems, so please hang in there with us on today. Amen. So I understand we have another call on the line. We got Brother Tom. What's your question or comment, Brother Tom?
Yes, sir. Brother Davis, thank you for standing in the gap today.
Thanks so much.
I'm appalled by this shooting, but I'm more appalled by the fact that we had police officers got there, and you said they waited till the danger passed. But, Brother Davis, that's not if you're going to wait till the day.
Hello, Brother Tom.
We lost Brother Tom, but we'll get him back here momentarily.
Okay.
You'll have to carry on. Sorry about that.
Sorry about that. Yes, we lost Brother Tom right there. But like I said, we're having some technical difficulties here, so please hang in there with us. Brother Tom, call us back when you have time. But yes, going back to what he was saying right there, that was terrible for them to have to pause in between. I don't know who made that decision. But again, once again, I can understand some of the first responses, the human response, is fear. Anytime we come up against something that we're unsure about, fear will grip the situation and cause you to sometimes have to make a spur-of-the-moment decision. Sometimes it can be costly. Sometimes it can be helpful. We don't know which way it's going to go. But on this particular occasion, the young man was shooting, from what I can understand, some kind of assault rifle, and he had entered the school. Now, according to some of the reports I have seen, he got in through an unlocked, unsecured door. That should never happen. That's just my opinion on that. We should not be having our schools unsecured, where anybody can just walk in off the street and just walk through the school and just do what they want to do. In this particular case, it ended up costing 19 children, from what I understand, the fourth graders, their lives, as well as the lives of 2 teachers. Some of the teachers, from what I can understand, did try to take measures to protect the children at that time, because you have to make a decision when you see danger present. And I thank God for them, for the patriotic spirit that they had to step in and to try to do something about the situation. And from what I can understand, even right now, all over America, in the schools, they are teaching the children through the drills. in case, you know, things like this happen, how to get into a safe place and shut off and keep quiet, and how to call for help and do, you know, different things like that, so that, you know, they can diffuse the situation before it gets out of hand.
Pastor Davis, we have Glenn Youngblood back on the line with you. Just want to let you know.
Yes. It's a heartbreaking thing for us to, you know, have to experience such a thing at a time like this. We got Brother Glenn back on the line once again. Go ahead, Brother Glenn, with what your question or comment
is. Yes, sir. I just wanted to respond to that. Some reports say that there was a school resource officer. Some reports say there wasn't a school resource officer on the scene of the school. But I'm also hearing from some reports that the officers that they questioned that didn't immediately enter, some said they were afraid of being shot. Well, God bless America. That's what policemen are for. We're supposed to stand in the gap. I don't want to get shot. But if it's a choice of me taking a bullet or a child taking a bullet, I think we know which way that's supposed to go. We're supposed to be defending those children. All of our gun-free zones are technically killing fields, because when the bad guys know that nobody in there has a weapon, they know that they won't receive any confrontation and they can kill people. In Columbine, the high school where they came in and they actually chained the door shut, they set up bombs. The two suspects went in, or they're perpetrators. We don't suspect. We know they did it. But the two perpetrators locked the doors down and then went in and just started indiscriminately killing people. That was in the late 90s. They lost 15 people. Sandy Hook, in 2012, they lost 27. In Virginia Tech, they lost 33. The Parkland, Marjorie Douglas High School, they lost 17, right? We have learned this lesson over and over and over and over again. And they still have some schools that either don't have a policeman on scene, or they haven't taken the necessary steps to secure the school or train the staff to protect the children. But if the staff or nobody in the school that's competent has a weapon to appropriately defend the children, they are just at a loss. They're on the receiving end of the bullets if there's nobody to stand in the gap. I guarantee you the two teachers that they lost in Texas, because the fellow barricaded himself in the fourth grade classroom, I guarantee you those teachers did everything they could to shield those children. They gave their lives for those children. So if you've got policemen that said they're afraid of getting shot in order to protect children, they need to go find another occupation. Maybe they can deliver the mail. God bless the mailman. But if they're not willing to step between an innocent child in order to prevent harm, then they need to find another line of work. The lesson should have already been learned. We keep repeating the lesson in America, okay? It's not about the weapon. It's about the mentality of an evil wolf that preys on innocence, okay? It's our job as shepherds and as sheepdogs to protect the innocent. Somebody has to step up and take responsibility for that protection. Someone has to stand in the gap. What do you think?
Gentlemen, we have Tom back on line three, and Pastor Davis, I'll let you handle it from here.
Okay, Brother Tom, go ahead with your question or comment.
Sir, Pastor Davis,
Sorry, we've had more technical problems than we need today, Pastor Davis. We'll have to get going with you again. Hang on.
Okay. But thank God for it anyway. This is just something. This is not a regular part of what happens on WTRJ. We want you to know, everyone. We're sorry about this. But we'll continue on and do the best we can until we can get this thing straightened out, because what I have here right now, even in Folkestone, where I'm broadcasting from, there's a storm moving through, and we may be experiencing something connected to that. So, yes, we have a lot of problems.
Be careful up there. And we do have Brother Tom back in here.
Okay, Brother Tom, let's go ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, sir. Pastor Davis, I was saying I agree emphatically with what Glenn said, that if you're not willing to take a risk when you become a policeman, find you another job. And, you know, we had one school shooting where the safety officer hid in the closet till all the shooting stopped. I guess they figured just let the guy run out of bullets, or, you know, and then it'll be safe. But this thing of these guys not wanting to charge in there, that's not what they signed up for. And I think we need to have some real serious training. And before an officer can be a school safety officer, they need to vet him, just like they're talking about vetting somebody to have an assault rifle. That you don't put a guy of questionable character guarding those kids. It's like the Marines. They don't wait till the shooting stops. And most people don't know it, but the U.S. Navy, the aviators, the fighter pilots, on any given day, you could go to a squadron, tap a pilot on the shoulder and say, hey, today you're going to be a Blue Angels exhibit pilot. And he's trained to do that same routine. It wouldn't be nothing out of the ordinary. And I think that's the way we should have our police. And, you know, one of the school shootings, the officer that hid in the closet, they charged him with manslaughter. And I hope this this thing is thoroughly investigated. Did these guys just stand around and it took a Border Patrol agent to come? And I understand he was shot once or twice to take this kid out. But I really think that we need to, if you're going to have a school, have a safety officer armed with an automatic weapon. And I think certain of the officers should be highly trained to be backup and have automatic weapons in their car, kind of like a mini SWAT. So you don't just send the guys doing traffic out to a school shooting. I just think it's going to take some time. I'd like to ask Glenn, what does he think about that?
Go ahead, Brother Glenn.
I don't know all the information they had and when they had it. We'll find out in the coming weeks.
Brother Glenn, are you there?
What they knew and when they knew it, which is going to be the reason why they acted one way or didn't act another way. But from 20, 25 years ago, I was saying earlier, from the lessons we learned in Columbine, we don't wait to go into an active shooter. We are required to go to the shots being fired in order to make it stop. The longer you wait, the more death and carnage there is. The sheriff's office in Jacksonville and other agencies are also issued what's called an AR-15. It is a semi-automatic weapon. It's not a full automatic weapon. Semi-automatic means you pull the trigger once and it shoots one. You let go of the trigger, it resets. You pull the trigger, you get another shot. It's a semi-automatic weapon. The media has put that out there as this is a full automatic machine gun. No, it's not. It's a semi-automatic weapon. Unfortunately, some of the bad guys do have fully automatic weapons, and they don't care about breaking the law because that's what criminals are. Here again, a person should have the training to be in a position if they're going to be a school resource officer and or a teacher or administrator, someone who's assigned as a safety officer who may not be law enforcement. They do have to have appropriate training. You're responsible for every bullet that comes out of that weapon. Okay, if you're shooting at the bad guy and miss and hit an innocent, it's on you. If you are not taking action to preserve life, it's on you. So the police officers or sheriff's officers that were in Parkland during the shooting there at that school, Marjorie Douglas, I think is what it's called, there were four that were terminated for inaction. They didn't take action, and they were terminated. One of them got their job back on a technicality. I don't know about the other three, but there actually was punishment dealt out for not taking action, which resulted in more innocent life being lost. So I'm in agreement with you. These schools have to be protected. Listen, if you go to a government building, you got checkpoints, you've got metal detectors, you got all sorts of stuff. They're not just telling you can't bring a gun in. They're checking you to make sure you didn't bring a gun in. All right. But if there are people, I mean, armed security, you can go to City Hall. They've got armed security at City Hall. All right. We're protecting our politicians better than we're protecting our children. Shame on us. What do you think?
Well, Brother Glenn, I thank you for your expert opinion. This is one of Dr. Youngblood's four sons who is a retired JSO officer and been instructed and trained to the highest degree of knowledge. He has all of that. That's his area of expertise. And he's given us, you know, things that we need to know concerning individuals who should have been trained and what they should have done, you know, in this particular situation and what could happen with the proper training. Of course, like we said, none of us are very pleased when we see the information that's continuing to develop, you know, as we speak right now. You know, I've been watching the monitor where I'm sitting at, and they're steady covering this story, and we have police officers that's coming forth with sound like excuses to me, basically, for why the situation wasn't handled a little bit differently. And of course, Brother Tom came on and he said some things that was related to that that would be helpful, you know, if we had, you know, people that were in the area with a perhaps a gun permit that, you know, had access to a weapon, probably could have been helpful in getting this situation under control. But in this particular case, that didn't happen. And going back to what he said about the other officer that showed up that really didn't have a whole lot to do with, you know, why other police officers didn't show up. But thank God he did show up at the time. He was able to help get this thing under control. But this is what we are talking about on today, and this is why, you know, we are so displeased when we look at the things that are happening and all the things that are connected to it. And I'm pretty sure as time goes on, other information is going to come out pertaining to what's going on, and we'll learn a little bit more about it. But here's another article that says a 10-year-old survivor recalls the moments after hearing shots fired. This is what the 10-year-old had to say. A student who was in the classroom next door to the one gunman when he entered recounted to ABC News what she did next. Gemma Lopez, 10, said she heard 5 to 6 gunshots and commotion outside her classroom at Robb Elementary School before a bullet whizzed by her arm and into the wall. She recalled seeing a puff of smoke, which is when she knew they were all in danger. She said she turned off the lights and then ducked under the tables. What she learned to do in the active shooter training she has undergone since kindergarten. There were no locks inside, and they did not have a key in the classroom to lock the door from the inside, she said. Authorities yelled at the gunman to put down his weapon, to which he reportedly shouted in response, "Leave me alone, please," in Spanish, Gemma recalled. Gemma said her best friend, Amory Jo Garza, was one of the 19 children killed in the massacre. So how horrifying is that? To listen at the story coming from a 10-year-old who thought that their lives were in dire straits because no one was there to help them at that particular time. It's very gut-wrenching. This is the United States of America. This should not happen on American soil. This has no place in our society. When we look at the other information pertaining to the person that committed the shootings, from the way I understand it, he went on social media and posted information on there about what he was about to do. Now, if that had been anyone else went on there and did that, especially I feel if it was someone connected to the church that said that they were doing that, you'd have the National Guard or someone kicking your door down. Why didn't a response happen? And this is just my question for the situation. Why didn't somebody do something after reading this when we got so many internet watchdogs that are on there monitoring everything? They monitor your telephone calls. They monitor your text messages. They monitor your email. You got people watching over your shoulder for everything. Yet somehow this information slipped clean by and nothing was done, and it ended up costing 21 people their lives. Now our kids going forward are going to be afraid of going to school. In fact, as I watched the news on last night, some of the coverage on there, one of the mothers came on and said her, I believe it was 10 or 11-year-old son, asked her, "Mother, do I have to go back to school?" Heart-wrenching, gut-wrenching, I'm telling you, it did something to me, because this should not happen in the United States of America. Our kids should not be afraid to go to school. They're supposed to be going out there to learn. That's a learning institution. They should not ever have any fear about whether they're going to be able to go to school, socialize with their teachers and friends, and have a safe trip returning back home.
Pastor Davis, we've got another young blood on the line. So, Glenn and Glenn, we have Greg here.
Thank you so much, Brother Greg. We have Brother Greg Young Blood on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, Brother Greg.
There are a lot of debates flurrying about right now, and the left seems to want to focus on stripping away the Second Amendment. Interestingly, the laws that are currently in place, you know, they want to pass a new law, or if you listen to Michael Moore, they want to just strip away the Second Amendment altogether. But the laws that are currently in place are not being enforced in America. And you can't say, hey, we need a new law to fix it. By the way, a new law won't fix it. By the definition of the word criminal, they are lawbreakers. So the laws will only apply to you honest citizens out there. They will not apply to the criminal, at least not uniformly. Obviously, they emptied half the jails in a lot of these cities dealing with COVID. They just put the criminals right back out on the street. But beyond that, in a single year, and this has been talked about many, many times, in a single year, they had over 80,000 people in America that failed their firearms purchase background check. 80,000. Out of those 80,000, tons of them were felons that were caught. You know, and by the way, it's illegal in most states for a felon to try, not to buy, but to try to buy a weapon, okay? But out of 80,000, only 44 were arrested and prosecuted. Did you hear the numbers? I mean, even the resident of the White House, even that fella, his son apparently committed some criminal act in the acquisition of purchasing a firearm. Nothing was pursued. The firearm was unlawfully disposed of. Nothing was pursued. So they do not enforce the law as it currently is. Beyond that, we need to realize, you know, as much as this is absolutely gut-wrenching to realize that these 20-plus lives were taken, innocent lives, that's a normal day, if you will, a normal weekend on the south side of Chicago. If we look at murders in the United States, by the way, you have multiple categories of deaths associated with firearms. Homicide does not necessarily mean murder. I mean, we watch so much, you know, crime dramas on TV. We hear homicide and we hear murder. Well, that's not the same. Homicide is a life being taken. Murder is a life being taken unlawfully. So when they talk about the firearm homicide rate across America, they're including everybody. Literally, someone breaks into your home and they've got a gun to your face and you shoot them, that shows up in the homicide stat. How do you like that? Did you shoot them unlawfully? No, you defended your family. If a police officer shoots a suspect and that shows up and they die, that shows up as a homicide stat. You go, but that wasn't a murder. And also suicides. It's like nearly a third of those deaths associated with firearms each year are suicides. These are individuals that would otherwise I hate even talking about it, because it goes to a sin nature. It goes to psychology. It goes to mental issues. But those individuals, sadly, if they're bent on committing the act, they will find some way to do it. But folks need to know, if we strip away the murders within your Democrat-controlled metro and urban areas, the stats fall off precipitously. I believe the number is something like 58% of murders in America take place in 2% of cities. And those 2% are almost uniformly controlled by Democrats in their major urban and metro areas. How do you like that? But that's not what the left will tell you. And as a closing thing, because I know you've got a lot to say still, I would challenge believers today, read Philippians 4, 6 today and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto the Lord. And the peace of God, and that's what we need today in America, we need some peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Brother Greg. That's another one of Dr. Youngblood's four sons right there. And I certainly thank and praise him the opportunity to be with them on the other night at the graduation. We all had a very good time. Dr. Youngblood did a stellar job out there on that night. But we just want all of you to know, we don't take this thing lightly. And again, we want you to know we're not here to criticize anyone, but we simply want to have some input, share information, give your point of view, as well as what the Word of God says. That's what's going to have the most meaning overall. What does the Word of God say about what we should be doing? And if we abide by the Word of God, what we're trying to tell you is that your life would be so much better if we did it the way that God prescribed for us to do it in the beginning in His Word. So, yes, it is very gut-wrenching. It's heartbreaking for us to see our kids fearful about going to school. Even when we look at in the morning, some of us that send them off to catch the school bus, we don't know if they're going to be safe on the school bus going, because I can remember a while back seeing some information on the news right there in Jacksonville where some kids got shot at on the school bus going to school. So again, these situations should not be taking place. And just like Brother Greg just got finished saying, I don't see where there's a whole lot wrong with the laws that we already have on the books. What we need to do is review them and see what we can do to enforce what we already have. Certainly, I understand what other people will say. We need a new law for this and a new law for that. Okay, I mean, if that's how you feel, that's fine. But again, what are you doing with what you already have? When Moses stood before God and God got ready to send him out to deliver his people from the land of Egypt, God said, what is that that you have in your hand? Moses said, a staff. God said, use it. That's what you are to use in order to deliver my people. So listen, that's what we need to do on today. We have things right now at our disposal, many laws. We have many laws already on the books that are written, but they're not being enforced. For some reason, a lot of this is being overlooked, and people say we need a new this and we need a new that. No, use what you already have in order to get the job done. When we go back to the Word of God, I want to share this with you before we get ready to close out. We look at what the Word of God says in the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 44. This is what Jesus had to say to those who disobeyed the Word of God. He said, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So this is what we are seeing. We see people living lives that are contrary to the Word of God, and Jesus always gave us warning, just like he did with the people back during that particular day and time. And it behooves us to obey what the Word of God says. We have been given fair warning in advance. I am a believer that warning comes before destruction.
10 seconds.
And a whole lot of times, destruction comes our way because we don't heed the warnings that are already there. So I just want you to know today, we want to encourage you to trust and believe.